Radio Prague News.
Expert analysis commissioned by Germany's opposition Green Party has questioned the safety of the Temelin nuclear power plant. Senior police officers are leaving the anti-corruption and financial crime unit of the Czech police, the internet news site Novinky CZ reports. The chairman of public affairs, Vít Bárta, has announced he will run in the upcoming election under the banner of the Dawn political movement. Expert analysis commissioned by Germany's opposition Green Party has questioned the safety of the Temelin nuclear power plant in the Czech Republic. The matter is looked at in the latest issue of the German weekly Der Spiegel. According to the magazine, the study casts doubt on the quality of welds between Temelin's pressure vessel and the surrounding cooling system, arguing the quality was not well documented or that existing documentation contained mistakes, therefore representing a potential safety hazard. The study was conducted by Dieter Meyer, a former high-ranking official at Germany's Environment Ministry. However, the matter has been raised before, and Czech experts found no defects in construction. Also, Germany's Environment Minister Peter Altmaier reportedly saw no reason to press for additional tests at the Czech plant, earning him criticism from opponents of nuclear energy in Germany. Senior police officers are leaving the anti-corruption and financial crime unit of the Czech police, the internet news site Novinky.cz reports. The news report says there is growing discontent in the unit ahead of a planned overhaul under its new chief, Milan Komarek. According to Novinky, this state of affairs dates back to a dispute between Prague High State Attorney Lenka Bradáčová and the unit's former chief, Tomáš Martinec, who left his post in May as a result of a highly publicized controversy. The stated aim of the planned overhaul is for the unit to work on fewer but more significant cases and to develop closer cooperation with other units of the police force. The officers who are leaving are reported to be experts in the field. The chairman of public affairs, Vít Bárta, has announced he will run in the upcoming election under the banner of Dawn, a political movement founded by tourism expert-turned-senator Tomio Okamura. Mr. Bárta will head the candidates list in the region of Plzeň and face the Civic Democrats Jiří Pospíšil, who is a former justice minister as well as others. Mr. Okamura strongly welcomed Mr. Bárta as a candidate, saying in his view, the leader of public affairs, the upstart party in the last election, was the only minister who had taken anti-corruption measures seriously. Over the course of the last 3 years, public affairs was first a coalition member, then continued in the opposition after the party splintered into two groups. Ecologists from the NGO Friends of the Earth have called on the Czech Environmental Inspectorate to look into logging at the Šumava National Park, which they charge has devastated areas. They charge that loggers had broken the law, operating in places that are off limits. In their view, heavy machinery damaged not only a tourist path, but the ground soil in places. Loggers, they allege, also cut down trees in Zone 2, where nature is meant to be left untouched. The National Park management has not yet reacted. Finally, a look at the weather. Mostly cloudy conditions are expected with sunny periods, but also rain in places. Daytime temperatures are ranging between 16 and 18 degrees Celsius. That's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniel Zerová. Coming up in today's program, former President Václav Klaus comes out in defense of Europe's traditional nation states, warning against the dangers of further integration. This being Monday, we'll bring you the sports news, and later on One, we meet Tereza Vohryskova, one of the people behind the increasingly influential cyclists' right group, Automat.
We are quoted, we are known, we are somehow sometimes respected, which is quite a lot given that it started really as an activist movement of three people.
All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. Former Czech President Václav Klaus has come out in defense of Europe's traditional nation states, warning against efforts to transform the EU into a super state. reacting to an appeal by proponents of a much tighter Europe, Václav Klaus issued his own manifesto entitled Democrats of Europe, Wake Up. In it, the former Czech head of state says that plans to take European integration to a new level would bring about the end of democracy on the continent. Jan Richter discusses Mr. Klaus's latest declaration with Jakub Janda of the Prague-based European Values think tank.
First of all, I would say that Mr. Klaus is referring or he's replying to a manifesto, to a book which was published last year in October 2012. But the debate itself about the integration process is going on and will be going on before the European Parliament elections next May in all Europe. And both of the replies from both of the parts of the spectrum are to some extent the extremist or maybe from a periphery point of view, because Václav Klaus is saying that the authors of the manifesto are Marxists and comrades, and they are referring to the Marxist idea of uniting something. That's what Václav Klaus is saying in his reply this week. He's speaking from his point of view, which is, as usual, really conservative and really anti European, to extend that he's really against more integration of Europe, which the authors of the essay are advocating.
Well, in this particular case, Mr. Klaus's view has been backed mainly by the ex-president's former and current Czech collaborators. But some international European figures have also backed the manifesto. For instance, the British Eurosceptic politician Nigel Farage and some other European conservative figures. You already said that Mr. Klaus's reaction was peripheral, but do you think that it could gain some kind of momentum in the ongoing debate about the future of the European Union?
Well, it might, but I don't think it will, and I will say why. Because, as you said, right now there's Václav Klaus and 16 other people. Only 5 are non-Czech origin, and 8 of them, as you rightly said, are his followers or his co-workers. I would say that this answer from Václav Klaus might be, let's say, heard from in some part of the political spectrum, such as the peripheral one, as Nigel Farage represents, but not really in the heart of the debate.
Václav Klaus recently decided against a sort of a comeback to Czech politics when he refused to shield a group of Eurosceptic and conservative politicians in the Czech Republic. But do you think this might be some kind of preparation for his return to politics on a European level?
Yes, it really might be, because this exact, let's say, positioning might be done by such manifestos and such strong public opinions, which will be heard in, let's say, Czech public space, where he needs to be elected from. So he might be going for the European Parliament seat, but some are skeptical about it, because would he be his future in the European Parliament? That's the question.
Jakub Janda of the Prague-based European Values think tank speaking there to Jan Richter. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, where we're now offering you a summary of the sports news with Ian Willoughby.
First up today, it's soccer, and the Czech Republic's prospects of reaching the playoffs for next year's World Cup were far from rosy before a game against Armenia on Friday evening. However, a 2-1 defeat at Prague's Eden Stadium has left them with very little chance of making it to Brazil. The visitors went ahead on the half-hour mark before Czech captain Tomáš Rosický pulled one back with 20 minutes remaining. But that goal proved too little too late, and Armenia struck again in time added on to break Czech hearts. Rosický blamed the team's failure on their poor finishing.
In a game like that, when you have as many chances as we did, you have to press home your advantage, and two players have to follow up a ball. We were lacking that hunger. It cost us the game. And not just this game. Converting our chances was also a problem in the previous ones, so it wasn't a coincidence.
The Czechs would need to win all 3 of their remaining qualifiers to keep their playoff hopes alive. That's a tall order, though, as their next game is away to four-time World Cup winners Italy on Tuesday, with the hosts hoping to seal qualification. If the Czechs don't take all 3 points in Turin, coach Michal Bílek could well be looking for a new job in the very near future. Moving on to much more positive news from the world of tennis, and though Czech singles players didn't get very far at the US Open, it was a completely different story in the doubles competitions. Andrea Hlaváčková won the mixed doubles with Max Mirny of Belarus and the women's doubles with compatriot Lucia Hradecka, while Radek Štěpánek lifted the men's doubles trophy with India's Leander Paes. Hlaváčková and Hradecka took their title after a 6-7, 6-1, 6-4 victory over Australia's Ashley Barty and Casey Delacroix, the pair who denied them gold at last year's Olympics. Speaking after Saturday's final, Hlaváčková said a less than ideal start had helped the Czech duo this time out.
I was glad the first set was close. I said to myself, we didn't play well, or at least I didn't play well, but still it was close. So if we step it up a bit, we've got a great chance. But the end was incredible. Anything could have happened. We won because we played courageously. That's the strength of our play. And we have to remember that in future games.
Hlaváčková and Mirny had been crowned champions at Flushing Meadows after seeing off Abigail Spears of the US and Santiago González of Mexico 7-6-6-3. Meanwhile, Štěpánek and Paes overcame the Austrian-Brazilian pairing Alexander Pea and Bruno Suárez 6-1, 6-3 on Sunday to take their first Grand Slam title together. Paes has quite a history with Czechs, having previously won the US Open with Martin Dam and Lukáš Dlouhý and partnered Martina Navratilova. That's all the sport for today.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby for that sports report. And now, before we move on to our main feature, here's something that may be of interest to you. Radio Prague and Czech Tourism have launched a competition called My Czech Story, in which you can win a trip to Prague for two. All you have to do is post a photograph that tells your Czech story. It can be a snapshot from your last visit to Prague, your favourite Czech product, band, or a Czech cafe in your own neighbourhood. Anything that relates to the culture, history and spirit of the Czech Republic. Just fill in your name, email, title or brief description of the picture and post it to Radio Prague's website no later than September 30th. As I said, the winner will get a 3-day trip to Prague for two, including the cost of plane tickets. 9 runners-up will receive smaller gifts. You'll find all the details on our webpage. That's at radio.cz. So good luck. Now it's time for our main feature. More and more NGOs and other organizations in the Czech Republic are addressing the issue of public space and how to make the country a better place to live. One of the best known is Automat, a cyclists' rights group that has become increasingly influential in recent years. One of its organisers, Teresa Vohrisková, is Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's One on One.
On Monday, the NGO Automat is unveiling a monument at the very spot where founding member Jan Bochal was killed while cycling in Prague. And September will be busy for the group, with a project to turn an embankment into a pedestrian zone about to begin, and an annual day of street festivals scheduled for later in the month. Teresa Vohrisková is one of the people behind Automat. When we spoke, she said its main activities included encouraging alternatives to car transport in the city and changing attitudes to public space.
There are two levels of work. One is like working with the public, that is explaining and changing the attitudes and like bringing in new possibilities. And the second one is like a kind of expert and watchdog and lobbying activities towards the city, where the aim is to like change the transport concept of the city and to change attitudes to like important transport, important works in the city, so that the focus would be more on making the city more livable and not more easily rideable by car.
What does the name mean? I've never understood the name, this auto star sign Mat.
I think the idea is that to give Mat, that is like from chess, to cars.
It's like mate, checkmate.
Mate, yes.
What would you say have been the major successes of Automat in the last 10 years since you guys began?
From my point of view, one of the biggest successes is that at this point, Automat is seen as quite an influential and strong element in the Prague, among the Prague opinion makers about transportation, about public space. And this is, for me, this is a huge success. Like, we are quoted, we are known, we are somehow sometimes respected, which is quite a lot given that it started really as an activist movement of three people. Thousands of people in Prague know about Automat and they follow their activities and they agree with them or they sympathize with these thoughts. Then there are practical successes like our biggest campaigns, like Bike to Work, is now really becoming a national campaign. It's not just an activity that takes place in Prague. There are thousands of people every year who sign up for the contest and who ride daily to work, and it's changing the mentality of people and their everyday habits in terms of mobility. So that's a success. It's also the live the city different or different city experience, or there are different English terms for our festival Zažít město jinak, which started in 2006.
This is when you close streets and they become kind of public thoroughfares with people walking and talking.
Yes.
And sitting around, and the transport is stopped.
Yes, this is sort of a one-day transformation of public space of Prague and creating a vision of how it could work without cars or with less traffic.
This year it's happening on the 21st of September, is
yes.
that right? And how many streets are involved this year?
This year there are 35 zones that are signed up or that want to take part.
And how many were there last year?
It was 23.
What has been the reaction of the public to this initiative?
It's very warm. It's like people are happy and amazed that there is this possibility to take part or to create these neighborhood feasts, we call it now. And it's really like at this point it seems like almost everybody knows about it and people think it's great and they want to take part.
I guess one thing that this festival, this Zažít město jinak, that it does is to foster the idea of neighborhood. Is there a weaker concept of neighborhood in the Czech Republic than you might find in some countries, for example, in the States?
Well, I don't know the States so much from my own experience, but I think the sense of community in general is sort of weakened in Czech Republic, and this is one of the heritages of communism, where simply this kind of social activity was not so much supported. And it's also the bigger cities which naturally create this kind of alienation. But my feeling is that people are kind of sick of it and they really feel the need to create some kind of social units bigger than just the families or flats or houses. So they want to meet and they sort of want to meet with people they know and people they know just a little bit, but sort of to have their own community and to have a place where they can go and actually do something with kids. It's the question of families a lot in the city. I really feel that there's a big need to create social relations in the neighborhood where people live.
So it could happen that somebody might stop and have a chat with the person from their building during this festival who they wouldn't normally speak to in the lift or whatever.
Yes, I believe so. I don't know how much the connection is happening on the individual level, but I'm sure that it's happening on the level of different, let's say, businesses, organizations, initiatives, cultural seeds like cinemas, theaters, that during the preparation of the festival and during the festival itself, there are really strong connections or liaisons created that really help the people in the long term. That is, when they want to do something later, like do celebration of for Christmas for kids, they are organized on the level created during Zažitně stojinak. So they know who to call in the neighborhood. They know a good place where they can, they know a good cafe where they can reserve a spot to do something. So it really works in the long term, I think.
On Monday, you are unveiling this monument to Jan Bochal. It's called Bike to Heaven. It takes the form of a bicycle pointing to heaven, to the skies on a street lamp. Who was Jan Bochal?
Jan Bochal was a Prague activist, a young man, who was one of the first people here to say that bicycling in the city should be more promoted and that transportation in the city should change so that biking can become more safe and more popular. And he was also one of the founders of Automat as a sort of free initiative in the beginning. And he was also working in an NGO that was working on corruption cases in Prague politics.
And in a terrible irony, he was killed on a bicycle in Prague 7.
Yes.
You have been working on this project for a long time to put up this monument. How Yes. do you think you'll feel when you finally see it up?
Well, I personally will be very happy. Because it was not an easy process to get to raising this monument. So I think I'll feel very happy and relieved when I see it raised.
Earlier this year, Automat were pushing the idea of turning the Smetanovo Nabrzeże embankment into a pedestrian zone at weekends. Why didn't that happen in the end?
It is happening now, actually. But it was postponed because all the negotiations ended up being a lot more difficult. So it's happening now. It's starting on the 14th of September, and it will go on for five following Saturdays.
What's the aim? What do you hope to achieve with this, with turning this road into a pedestrian zone?
Well, Smetanovo Nabrzeże is one of the oldest campaigns of Automat, actually. Originally, Martin Mareček and Honza Bouchal, they were doing the first steps, going to the mayor, saying that he should close Smetanovo Nabrzeże for cars, at least for weekends. So this is an old, old story, because we think that this is one of the prettiest places in Prague, which is completely overwhelmed by traffic. And we believe that this should be a pedestrian zone. So our campaign and all the steps that we have taken have led us to conviction that there should be some kind of trial period where people can actually experience what it's like and see what are the pros of this measure, let's say.
There seem to me to be more and more of such kind of civic initiatives focused on public space. Why do you think this is happening now in the Czech Republic?
Well, I think it's mainly because people have sort of overcome the stage where they primarily needed to take care of just their own stuff, their own business, like where they are living or what kind of job they're having. Of course, I mean, like now it's getting hard with the unemployment and everything. But I think people are just realizing more and more that what contributes to their good feelings or to their happiness, let's say, in the city, is the way it looks, not just in their flat or on their little garden, but the way it looks around them, like the way it looks on the way they go to work or their kids go to school. And they also have more capacity to actually do something about this, or more willingness and capacity to do something about this.
Is it linked perhaps to a change of generation in the civic sector?
Yes, I think so.
And could you elaborate on that?
Well, I can see that most of these initiatives come from people who are in their 30s, I would say, mostly. And this is a generation that, I don't know, like from my personal view, it's a generation that still realizes sort of the heaviness or the gravity or however you call it, that sort of remains there from the communist era, but also sees the potential. And I think these people are not burdened by the history so much that it would paralyze them, but they're also serious or responsible enough to actually want to do something. So for them, I think these people are sort of ideal change makers in the city.
Tereza Voryskova, the NGO Automat, ending that edition of One on One, hosted by Ian Willoughby. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of our programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, the email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.